Greetings, everyone. It's good to be here Sabbath morning and to hear the discussion that helps along with doing the sermon. The title for today is The Three Appointments with God. Three appointments. Your three appointments. It's really the way it should be worded, shouldn't it? Your three appointments with God. Sometimes we have to think over what we must make appointments in life. Doctor's appointments and this kind of appointment, car appointments, eye appointments, and it just sort of goes on and on. As you get older, they get more. One day I went into a doctor's office and they kept me for an hour and a half, I think, and did one little thing for me, I guess, and recheck that I still had blood pressure. I got home and I phoned back and I said, I can't keep that next appointment. I'm sure it's wrong, and it's, you know, down the way a little ways. I said, I don't think I can keep that appointment. I said, I'll have to call you back and verify or whatever. The girl didn't want me off the hook. She wanted to make sure I had an appointment. But finally she decided she better let it be. That's the last I saw of them. I wanted out that door somehow and to stay out. There's appointments that we have to keep spiritually and physically. And there's some appointments that we don't want to break and we don't want to keep. You know, there's this toss-up, the struggle between should and should not, or however you want to word that. But some appointments you really do need to keep can be very difficult or very upsetting if we don't keep them. And like I say, the word break comes in because of appointments. But three appointments with God, two of which we must keep. So follow as I go along, see what they are. And then keep one which you may keep. May keep. Why would you may keep it, or are you kind of forced into doing it? You must keep it. So see as I go along. You have an appointment with God in death. It so happened that just yesterday, the Queen of England, which was the Queen of Canada all my life, almost, died. That was an appointment that it's just going to happen. We must keep it. There's appointment made where appointment unto man once to die is what the scripture says. And in Hebrews 9:27 and 28, it says this way, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, But after that step, then is the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, all that want it, all that will ask. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So Jesus Christ was bringing the plan. We just have to find out if we want to accept it and what it entails. Just those two verses will take care of that much. With an appointment once to die. Yeah, it's going to happen to all of us. Unless the trumpet blows first. I notice the New Testament mentions that occasionally, that unless Jesus returns, we all go the other way. We also have one that reads this way in 2 Samuel 14:14. For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. I read that. Wow, that's right. I guess nowadays we could get highfalutin and gather up all the soil that had any moisture in it and and drain it out and heat it out of it and evaporate it out of it. And, you know, we'd try to get it up. But you really don't know whether you got the original water or whether you're getting some other water. So you cannot gather it up again, the Bible says. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished shall not expelled from him. God is making a plan that has a way out, a way to fix the problem, but also a way of not to be lost. You won't be expelled. It's a devised means. God did that. He made the means so that that would not be a problem. To another one here, yes, in Isaiah 38 and 1 through 5. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. Uh-oh, you can already figure what's going to happen. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That's double. You're going to die? You are, really. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, toward the wall, and prayed unto the Lord, unto Heavenly Father, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Interesting. Let's go a couple more verses. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, family line, I have heard thy prayer. God's listening. God said, I heard your prayer. I have seen thy tears. Aha, God is tuned in. God knows what's going on. He saw the tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Wow. 15, not just an afternoon or, you know, a week, a weekend, or 15 years. You think about God doing this for somebody and can do it. You really want to know the rest of the story. It's good, you know. So if you haven't read this story, you want to look it up. So this was in Isaiah 38, 1 through 5. And he's telling him, you would have died if God hadn't intervened. It's for sure you were going to die. God intervened and he said, I saw your tears. You saw the reality of what you're thinking and how you're handling yourself in a situation like this. But how serious are you with God? And he was admitting to himself, I did what was right. I had a pure heart. I walked faithfully. I lived righteously. And God saw it and took note of it. So that he said, I'll add to your years 15 more years, or add to your days of life, days of living. It's going to add 15 years. Amazing. So this is one of these situations when you're an appointment you want to keep. If he had not gone to God in prayer and tears and really talked with the Heavenly Father, he might have lost a whole lot of happiness, a lot of situations that was there. So he did that. The last one under that section is Romans. Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Interesting how influencing we can be to somebody else's life. here one man sinned, and it continued, made a problem. So if we go the other way, it would be good too, to fix the problem and not have this sin. The other side of the story would be that there's one man that came and did fix it. That's Jesus Christ. And we can go to Jesus for this appointment, keep an appointment with Jesus and with the Heavenly Father. The thing is, when we come upon this in our head and we go down a list, a checklist, you might say, you go down a list, it may be this year thou shalt die. That's from Jeremiah 28:16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. Wow. That's Jeremiah 28:16. We got to watch what we're doing. It can affect our lives. But who else does it affect? Who else is going to get in trouble or take the wrong advice, take the wrong turn in the road? There's a song I'm thinking of, and thought of it last night, and I'm going to see if maybe at lunchtime we'll do this. There's a song that is on our church website that maybe somebody would look it up and play it for us. When you're one step away from God, you can be 1,000 miles away from salvation with Heavenly Father, being right with God. Okay, I want to move on here. So it could be a very short time. It could be a year. What if it was earlier, shorter? In another step I've got here in Luke 12:20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all these things be which thou hast provided? You need that story, don't you? The guy was storing up goodies. He's filling his barns. He's buying this and buying that and doing lots of things. You remember when you hear stories about Jesus telling parables about a marriage or about this or that, and they're saying, I'm just going to live happily. I'm going to be, all the good things like marriage and food and clothing and barns and, and they're going to get rich. Things are going to work good. And God comes back and says, thou fool, this night. It's no use planning years ahead of time because you're not going to be there. So we need to be ready for the Heavenly Father and being right with him physically, spiritually, because thy soul shall be required of thee. That would be awful if we don't meet him well in this appointment. Another appointment, another statement would be, what if it was the next moment? We often hear of people that have died under strange circumstances and just gone. I heard of one where a fellow was preaching and getting mad at God, saying that if you were a God, strike me down right here, And he was being fussy and containing. Well, God didn't strike him down. So he said, well, now what do you think of that? But the guy left the building to go to his car, swallowed a little gnat in his throat and died instantly. Wow. You don't fool around with that authority and that power. God wasn't going to just show off so that somebody would see him. God knows who he is and he knows his power. He doesn't have to prove it. But he will if he needs to. Yeah. And there's a verse here in Job 34 and verse 20. Well, that one's going to get me a little bit here, I think. The next, in that verse, Job 34, verse 20, it actually says, In a moment shall they die. In a moment. We never know when that moment's going to come. Could be the next moment. And then there's another one here. It may be the next step. That's the song. When you're one step away from God, you could be 1,000 miles from the Heavenly Father, from the door to eternity. So here, this one's in 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3. Yeah, there it is. And David swear, this is a, he's being convincing and strong-worded about how he's saying this. He's not using bad language. But he swear, moreover, and said, thy father, Richard, you're talking about his Jonathan, his friend, said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thy eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved, but truly as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Wow. I took it, I didn't spend a lot of time here, but you kind of know the story. And if Jonathan followed up on his dad, Jonathan could die. His dad threw the javelin at him, right? And this could be David talking because the javelin was thrown at him. So he's trying to tell Jonathan that he is that sincere with him as a friend. And yet here's the realities of life. He could be gone in just a few moments, a few days, whatever it is. But David is thanking his friend Jonathan for protecting him from death, certain death. One more verse under this same topic here. In Amos 4 and verse 12. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Whoa. God could turn the circumstances around another way, or he could come crashing down on their head in a moment. And he says, prepare ahead of time. You should know the odds, or the, you know, that's kind of a weird way of putting it, but you should know the standards that God holds and what could happen if, you know, one time I preached a sermon and I said, do you want to make God mad? Well, here's how you do it. And I brought up a whole bunch of verses. The church people were kind of quiet. That was over the east side of the state. They'd never heard a sermon like that. But you can make God angry. It says that he's sometimes grieved. Sometimes he's horrified with what the people are doing. And there's various words were used. It's a blaspheming of God. What those people were doing, you know, there's certain situations in the scriptures. And God got very straight with them in a hurry. So we need to prepare ahead of time and know our God, know what he requires of us, and then live that way. Another verse here in Hebrews 9:27. I guess we did that one already because you should put a mark up above. If not, it'll come again. It's in here three times, I think. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. How are we going to think about that? We need to prepare ahead, that other verse said. And this one says there's an appointment that we have to make. We can't get out of this one. There's an appointment. And that is to die. But after this, that's even worse. If you don't get ready to die, get ready to meet your Lord, there's a judgment day coming. And we need to be sure and get that accomplished. Now, this kind of judgment day can be various things. You remember when the sheep and the goats were separated? Oh boy. I don't want to be on the wrong side. And it's Jesus in the story, in the parable, separating the sheep from the goats. And they represent the wrong people doing the wrong things or not proper things. But the good people are moved over to the side and they were told, you're blessed. You remember the other one too, where it said, come and join in the scripture? And, oh no, am I going to miss that one? But when you're a good servant, and at the last moment sort of thing, he says, thou good and faithful servant, come and enter into the rewards of your master. Whoa, that's the side we want to be on. You know, we won't worry about the bad side. They're going to get their upcomings, you know, or something. So yes, that's the good one there. Now, that's all under the one appointment type of an appointment. But you have an appointment with God with judgment. That other verse just gave us the heads up. We're heading into that verse. Judgment. It's appointed on us to die, but after that, the judgment. So yeah, we're into this second part here in Hebrews 9:27. But then there's actually Acts 17:30. We'll be able to do it this way. 17:30 and also Romans. So Acts first, 17:30. I'll see if I can find it quickly. That's funny. Not funny. Is it on this page? Acts 17:30. Yes, I got it here. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That's a judgment. A judgment is going to happen. And we can't be ignorant about it. It's in the scriptures. We should have been reading the scriptures. And the book of Acts is one of the easy ones where it's telling they went from here to there and to there and they preached and they healed people. Somebody fell out of the upper window. You know, there's all kinds of good things to read in the book of Acts. Wow. So we can't be ignorant about what's going to happen at the end time. Because when that commandment comes and that judgment comes, all men must repent or else. Then we can go on to Romans, 14:12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. When you read some of the parables, you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you run across some of those verses where people have to give an account, why'd you do that? What part of thou shalt not don't you understand? Whoa, I don't want to hear those words, but I want to hear the good and faithful, you know, that part. So yeah, we need to give an account for ourselves. Why did you do that? Then also, that was in Romans 14, verse 12. And moving on to the next part. I want to Ecclesiastes 12:14. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14. And this is about we're all must face this end time that's going to come. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. You're not going to be able to hide your way out of something. Whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's Ecclesiastes 12:14. We need to stand up. We need to, there's another word, but straighten up with what we're doing and do it right, because it's going to come out and we're going to have to tell in this judgment time, we're going to have to tell, and we're going to hear the words, whether it's good or bad, whether they did evil or did good, that's there in that verse in Ecclesiastes 12:14. Then we can go to the New Testament to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. What about even we people that are of the New Testament and ought to know better? In that verse, in verse 10, it says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We all. He's talking to the church. He's talking to believers. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether good or bad. And some people, when they're teaching things like this, they don't want to read that. They don't want to tell that there's a good and a bad, and that you could end up with the bad. That you're, when everybody dies, they go to heaven, right? No. That's not scriptural. They go to sleep and they wait for the judgment day. That's what's real. And when that trumpet blows, oh boy, you better have it taken care of before you get to the sleeping in the grave or not. We believe in sleeping in the grave and everything's calm and collected and everybody's there, but there's going to be a trumpet blow. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we hope we hear those good words. And we're going to have a blessed time for 1,000 years. But if we don't hear those words and we don't come out on the first calling of those that are in the grave, you're going to be in the second calling. You will come out. There will be nothing hid. And those verses are here too. Okay, let's keep going a little bit. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone will receive the things done in his body. Whatever you've done, it's going to be known, and you're going to be answering for it, according to that he hath done, whether good or bad. Okay, I want to move on here to, don't want to turn over two pages or I'd be really in trouble. Revelations 20. Revelations 20 and verse 11. Start with verse 11. It's not very long. Just big lettering on my pages. And I saw a great white throne. Ah, I already know where this is because it's towards the last third or quarter of that chapter. We need to know some of these verses so that we can talk to other people about it. And I saw a great white throne. This is a judgment throne. And him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. This just means they're ducking their head. They're trying to hide. Something's happening there, right? And there was found no place for them. Oh, let's not take a chance on this one. We don't want to be in that spot because bad could be coming. Very likely is coming. It never says that, well, I'm going to read about the books here. Let me do verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Okay. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. There's even some churches that say you can't be measured by works. Oh, just use a computer and pick out all the words that have the words works in it. Yeah. And you'll find a different story. And the sea gave up the dead, people that died in the ocean. You can't hide in the ocean. And even if something ate you up when you were in the ocean, you can't hide there. You're going to be called back. Which were in it. And death and hell, this really means the grave. Death and the grave delivered up the dead which were in them. So there's no place to hide there. And they were judged every man according to his works. It's going to be in the books, whether you did good or bad. You remember when Paul was writing, he says, I've gone through all of this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. Yeah, they're going to mean something one day. You're going to add up according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The first one, when you died here on this earth and you slept in the grave and then you came back, and that's over with. You don't have to do that again. But those other ones that came back, this is going to be a second death for them. First death, they went to sleep. Second death, oh boy. No, this is going to be a sad occasion. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Measure it any way you want. I don't want to be there. We need to do better than that. We need to plan ahead and so on. Okay. How about Amos now? Again. Amos chapter 4, verse 12. And thus I will do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. This is the church, right? Israel of the Old Testament, that was the believers, the good folks. They're being challenged. Do you know your salvation is sure? Prepare ahead of time. Meet your God, to meet your God. Then there's another kind of question yet to come, another appointment. You need to obtain salvation. Make sure that it's yours, that you've got it. And here in verse 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we've got to take that slower, just a little. What did God do? In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. God didn't build us, shape us, perform all the miracle things that our body is. What, just to burn it up? Just to be a point of God's anger? No. But to obtain salvation, we need to be hunting for this salvation. We think, oh, it's just free and it's just dropped off at our door. And yes and no. You want to be sure. Measure up, find out what it takes and where you are, because you're obtaining the salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, not by ourselves. You've got Jesus Christ with you. He's going to help you through all of this, and he was the one that provided it. Okay? Next one I want to get here is 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. This is again pertaining to it should be kept now. Get your faith now. Get things fixed up first. Be ready. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. Whichever side of this conversation we'd be talking about, you do it at the acceptable time. When it's ready, when it's available, grab it up, you know. Appointed time, accepted time. And in a day of salvation, I have succored thee. Heavenly Father is drawing you in, tucking you in. You're part of it. Behold, now is the accepted time. Don't wait till tomorrow or call on me another day and I'll make arrangements. You know, I'll pencil you into my daytimer. Those are awful words, aren't they? Behold, now is the day of salvation. We need to be planned ahead and ready and everything set up properly and waiting for Jesus to come. So, just one more little statement or two here. We're back to making an appointment for life, for our lives, to obtain salvation. That appointment, we want to be sure and keep that. And whereby Jesus Christ, we can obtain our salvation. You have to make some move forward. You have to step forward. Your action, what is it going to be? You move forward. And when you're doing that, we can keep it now. Behold, now is the acceptable time. So you can get it now and hang on to it. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So you're not stretching this out very far. Now's the time to get it done. It'll be appointed to you. That's in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. But here's a little thing that should be said. If we meet God in life, what do you do? First thing you do, you repent and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, personal Savior even. I like to sometimes run these three things together, that we need to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We need to have a Lord of our life, two things. And The last one would be salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our personal Savior. So kind of put those things together and think about them. And you can look these up again in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, and also in Acts 16. I think I... Yes, I got that one here too. Luke 13, verse 3. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's a permanent deal. Perish. No way out. So we need to accept ahead of time and repent and get Christ as your personal Savior. And one more verse here, it says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. You probably remember where that is. Wasn't that the guy that was the jailer? And he asked, well, how do I get this salvation? What do I do now? If he said, I won't let you out, or I won't let you run, you know why? Because they would have killed him. A jailer that let his prisoners escape? He was going to die. So this is a matter of life and death. Do I keep what they're saying or die here on this earth on purpose because I chose that direction? That's why when I talk to the young men at a work shack, you might say, out in the fields, and I talked with him and it sounded like he might change some wording or he might put on some pressure on me in a little different direction. And he said, I asked him, do you want to go to church tomorrow? And told him about the Sabbath, just in brief. I mean, we were over the telephone in middle of the night kind of thing, and I didn't know him, he didn't know me. And but I said, would you like to go to church tomorrow? Tomorrow is the work of the Sabbath day, and you can get the day off, even on the farms. And I said, you know, do you want to go with me to church? He's just a minute, I'll get my brother. And I thought, oh boy, here it comes. The commercials, you know, maybe. I thought the worst, and I shouldn't have. He was being honest with me. And when I asked the same question of the older brother, he said, you know, keeping the Sabbath, keeping the Ten Commandments, is a matter of life and death. Now, wow, we don't usually put it that strong. We should. Yeah, we're not telling the whole story if we let it off the hook. So he said it was a matter of life and death, whether he served with the Sabbath day and came to church, or not. That's what I've been talking about, right? It's a matter of life and death. There's a call put out, and if you accept it and go, your home will be saved, your life will be saved, your house will be saved. God will send good things your direction. And that's it. That's really where it's at. Two appointments with God that we need to be ready to meet our Maker and serve him properly. May God bless you.